appearances in the night of three mysterious cloaked figures.
Gomborza, so they said, what if?
Gomborza's haunting, calling for a revolution. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't believe these things anymore.
I'm a worldly man in a Western context.
One tweet became viral because they claimed that the perpetrators were caught on surveillance cameras. Ooh. With alleged footage showing people disappearing and reappearing.
There's a knocking! Who's knocking at the door?
Hello, I'm Tika. Riley.
Oh, do you like scary stories?
Nope.
If the pun works, we're gonna use it. Hi guys, welcome.
How are you? Welcome to the Gods Must Be Crazy podcast.
I'm Ice.
I'm Anima.
And we're your hosts.
Yay!
The Gods Must Be Crazy is a podcast on Philippine mythology and folklore.
Woot!
And this month...
Ooh, spooky! Ooh, spooky sound. I sound like Moira Rose. Spooky.
We should upload that as like royalty free zone.
I know. Spooky.
You know when people try to quote unquote watermark their audio tracks.
Yeah, and they
have like, this is from blah blah blah. That's like a audio watermark.
Yeah.
That's your
That's my spooky. Anyway, so this month, it's spooky month.
Sidetrack. Before we started, we had like a whole 10-minute
sidebar. We had a 10-minute sidebar.
Anyway. All right, so this month we have something very special for you guys. It's October, spooky month, you know, culminating in Undas at the start of November.
Mm-hmm.
So all the spooky things. And what we wanted, I noticed that it was a tradition. We actually always feature death.
Yes.
Death superstition. So in the first year, I think we did...
Undas. We did a death and...
Death superstition.
And we did mummies.
So the episode is called Shake It Off, mm-hmm. or Pagpag. If you know, you know. And it's all about death superstitions. We also did a series on death practices, mm-hmm. And beliefs of our ancestors. So that's Mami Mia.
Uh-huh.
And Mami Mia, here we go again. Because, you know, if the pun works... We're gonna use it.
we were debating between Mummy Mia, Here We Go Again, and The Mummy Returns.
Yeah, yeah, yes. but Here We Go Again was nice.
Yeah, Here We Go Again was cute.
Maybe this could not, anyway. So in this month, we're doing a series of episodes all about the different figures and gods and deities of death.
Because we are the Gods Must Be Crazy. Yeah.
In around the different tribes of Filipino culture.
Ooh.
And so you know, definitely watch out for that. That'll mean a bit more episodes for October than we normally publish, but you know, all the better for you guys.
And yay.
All the more stress for us from our research.
More
standpoint.
Homework.
I have so many like random like PDFs and like journal articles that are in my
medical journal article.
I have to read
The Lancet.
It's so much. Sure. So today, the first episode, we're going to talk about a creature that honestly I hadn't heard much about before.
Mm-hmm.
I thought initially, well, there might not be too much that we talk about, but it's okay. Uh-huh. So I hadn't heard about this creature before, but I found out that it's so common.
Common?
I mean, as a kind of creature or motif, it there's a very clear kind of story and archetype of it that actually exists across multiple cultures around the world.
Ooh, okay. Well. Okay.
And I don't know if you're familiar.
Can I guess?
I guess.
Is it a banshee?
No.
Okay, is it like a ghoul?
No.
Okay,
see that. It could be a type of
ghoul.
Because, have you heard of the kumakatok?
No. That sounds scary.
So I was actually researching at night.
No, that's too scary.
And I'm back. Like, so my partner is off for 2 weeks. And I was doing some last minute research last night about it. And I was like, 2 minutes into the research, I was like,
Turn on the lights.
Actually, I can't do this.
I stopped
and I watched something happy because uh-huh. it was too scary. So, the kumakatok. In some...
Wait, kumakatok is Tagalog for the one who knocks.
The one who knocks. In some versions of the story, it takes a different form and it's called nangangatok.
Also the one who knocks.
Also the one who knocks. Just a different like conjugation or whatever. So, I'm going to start with a piece of short fiction by someone called Antonio D. Season.
Okay.
Because I thought it was such a good storytelling. And I'll share a link to the short story because I think it's really, really well written. So, the title of the story is Trinidad.
Okay.
The Three Who Knock. Or the Trinity.
Okay.
So, it starts with a person called Jonas Infante.
Okay.
Okay. And he is based in the Netherlands.
Okay.
So he was living alone in...
Is he a Filipino based in the Netherlands?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was he was living alone in a 7-room, century-old house. And it was 3 a.m. in the dead of Dutch winter.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard knocking.
Okay.
And it didn't sound like knocking from his dreams.
Uh-huh.
It sounded very solid.
Okay.
Right? And he was like, it's 3 o'clock in the middle of...
3 o'clock.
The witching hour in Dutch winter. Who could be knocking?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he realized he could have at least switched on the lights and checked. But he was like, you know, he was lying down in bed. He was curled up and he was kind of scared. And he didn't want to open the door to it. Right? He didn't think of himself as superstitious, even though he grew up as a young boy in old Manila.
Okay.
And he often heard stories, mm-hmm. you know, bedtime stories of tales of the undead,
mm-hmm.
you know, scary stories that his grandparents used to tell him when he was a kid. But, you know, it was the year 2000, just entering the new millennium.
Uh-huh.
He was 26 years old. He was visiting this university in, I'm going to butcher this, but Nijmegen? I don't know. And he was like, you know, I've moved. I'm not there anymore. I shouldn't believe these things anymore.
I'm a worldly man in a Western context.
Exactly. However, recent events kind of like, brought all of these stories back to his mm-hmm. consciousness because exactly 11 hours before, just as he arrived from his usual half-hour bike ride from the university library, there was a grisly scene that like he encountered. So mm-hmm. his landlord and housemate was an 8-year-old retired professor called Rogier Van Hoot, was being wheeled into an ambulance.
Oh no.
And their neighbor, a middle-aged Surinamese man, this is in South Africa, said that he heard incessant loud knocking next door. And then he came to check why Roger was not responding.
Roger!
And when he realized that there was no one at the front door, he made his way into the house through the back entrance and he found Roger slumped dead on his study desk.
Okay.
With his right cheek resting on a flat of, on a pool of spilled coffee.
Oh,
so they said it was a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously he was very shaken, Jonas, mm-hmm. but he just made his way back into the house mm-hmm. by himself. Right? His neighbor, Gerben, or mm-hmm. Gerben, I don't know how to pronounce it, is an adherent of the indigenous Winti religion of Suriname.
Okay.
And he kept the windows open.
Yes.
Right? And there was a cold drop because he believed that Roger's kra, or his soul, should be allowed to hover in and out of the house until he's able to transition and find his way back to the Diodio, or his supernatural parents.
Diodio is also...
Diodio.
Yeah, it's also Dios.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, it said that, like, you have your supernatural parents and you have to find your way back to them. Otherwise, you will haunt
the place. Isn't that an Irish thing, too, that you keep the windows open?
Probably,
That was this TV show, Alias Grace, where her sister died on the on the boat trip to from Ireland to America, and they didn't open the window of the boat, and that's why the spirit stayed and haunted her and possessed her. Yes. Anyways.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Jonas is very creeped out that night. But he was like, okay, we'll just let it be. And that's why he was curled up in bed. Right?
Because it's very cold.
And he remembered stories that he heard when he was a kid back in Manila. So, he remembered as a 7-year-old listening to the bedtime stories of his Lola Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
His grand aunt. So, at that time, there was what we call a brownout.
Which is a blackout, power outage.
Which is basically a power outage. I don't know why you call it brown out instead of blackout.
I know.
Anyway, there was a power outage at night and he was scared. And it didn't, he said that like his flawless presence didn't really help because she was like there. The text says, Trinidad's presence by his bedside didn't help much. She looked like a shriveled gnome.
Oh, and no!
Spoke with gravelly voice.
Oh, no!
That reminded him of croaking toads in the rainy season.
Thanks. Sorry naman tumanda. Sorry. I'm sorry, Jonas. People get old.
And she was like, she is very religious, but she also believed in folk piety, which is basically, you know, folkloric practices and beliefs. And she always held in her hand black rosary beads that she dipped daily in holy water.
Dipped?
Yeah, she dipped it in the holy water.
Wow, intense.
And she held it always like a talisman, like an agimat. No one really knew how old she was. But a lot of her bedtime stories were very spooky, especially those that were set in World War II.
Ooh.
For when she was a girl.
Yeah.
And so she always talked about stuff that happened during the time of the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And one story that Jonas remembered was, ang tatlong kumakatok.
The three who knock.
The three who knock. Which is something from Philippine folklore as well.
Never heard of it.
It was very creepy because Trinidad claimed that she was an actual witness to it.
Okay.
And she said, it's really, really true. I swear by the Lady of the Holy Rosary.
Okay. So like, okay, Lala.
So here's her story. What she said was, before the American forces liberated Manila.
1940, sometime between 42 and 45.
Correct. There was a lot of chatter around Manila, the city, about appearances in the night of three mysterious cloaked figures.
Gomborza, so they said, what if?
Gomborza's haunting, calling for a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
No. But they said it's... So the three figures, they were cloaked and had robes. So it was hard to see what they looked like. But one was a man who was bent over with age. So very old person. One looked to be like a tall, middle-aged man. And one was a beautiful girl who looked like prepubescent or young teens. And they knocked on doors just before the onset of a fatal tragedy.
To like, FYI.
So they said that there were many knocks on doors right before the outbreak of smallpox.
I didn't know there was a smallpox outbreak in Manila.
Yeah. So there was a huge outbreak of smallpox at that time. And so it started to kind of trigger panic amongst people, right? And they would seek sanctuary at the Catedral de la Immaculada Concepcion, Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception.
Mm-hmm.
Because based on Trinidad...
Was that the Manila Cathedral?
I don't know, actually. And based on Trinidad's account, the three who knock would never touch the doors of the cathedral. Because they had a sacred unction, so like a protection, that rendered it impermeable to evil.
So they were evil.
I don't know.
They were unholy.
You could argue it's just fate.
Yeah.
So here's the date. 3rd of February, 1945.
Okay.
Right? That it's a date that Trinidad really remembered because the city was thrown into a collective panic when at the stroke of midnight, the three who knocked visited not just every house in the city, but schools, hospitals, office buildings, hotels, garrisons, and to everyone's horror, the cathedral. And that very day, the Americans bombed Manila.
Yes, because it was open city.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when the capital was finally liberated from the Japanese control.
There's a knocking at the door!
There's a knocking! Who's knocking at the door?
Hello. Hello, what's your name?
Hello, I'm Tegan.
Tegan?
Oh, you're shy.
Riley.
Oh, how old are you?
4 years old.
Yeah, do you like scary stories?
Nope.
You don't like scary stories? What kind of stories do you like?
I like the perfect stories.
I like perfect stories, too.
Anyways.
A serious professional podcast.
We're so professional, guys.
Sorry, guys. The one who knocked was a little girl named Tegan.
The one who knocked. Ang kumakatok was Tegan.
Back to regular programming. Okay. Yeah. So, they bombed even the cathedral, right? So, when the capital was finally liberated from Japanese control, there were so many casualties. Majority of them, obviously, you know, Manileños.
Yes.
It was like almost like 150,000
yep.
people, which I think is close to the number of people who died in Hiroshima.
Wow.
As well.
But they didn't use a nuclear bomb in the Manila, right?
No, yeah. So everything's like the entire city was decimated. The cathedral was basically a rubble mm-hmm. of what it used to be. And in the mad scramble for shelter, a frightened young girl was shot out of the cathedral. So people were trying to look for shelter in the cathedral. Uh-huh, and there was one girl who couldn't make it through. And so she had no other choice but to seek refuge under a bridge. And no one knew her name, but everyone remembered one thing about her. That she had black rosary beads held tight in her fingers like a talisman.
Oh no, it was Lola. So the girl under the bridge was the Lola.
Yes.
Creepy.
So, I mean, the story goes on to just be like Jonas's introspection and fear, right? And he...
It's very Edgar Allan Poe.
I was thinking it's very Edgar Allan Poe, and he kind of like... Here's another knock again, and so he wears his coat and goes outside.
And then?
And no one's there. And he just, like, looks back and sees his own reflection. So it's a really nice piece of short fiction. So that's the introduction to this being. There's not really that much lore-wise else about it. But just for, like, the sake of, you know, getting a bit more...
Flavor.
Yeah, flavor on.
That's so cool.
It's so cool, right?
Yeah.
So.
Wartime ghosts, man.
Yeah.
Creepy.
So where was I? So, officially, what do we know about the kumakatok? And the thing is, I think this is such a modern, and I use modern in the, you know, kind of post-colonial.
Yeah, post-colonial.
Type of way. This is such a modern piece of folklore. I'm sure it existed in some forms from before. I think the reason maybe we haven't encountered it, you and I specifically, is because when we kind of get into like the pre-colonial stories, you don't really hear a lot of it.
I'm trying to think if you can, in terms of indigenously built homes, native materials like bamboo.
Can you even knock?
Can you knock on bamboo?
No.
I don't think so. Or ratan.
Yeah. So, the kumakatok, or the door knockers, the ones who knock, are a group of three robed figures. Ooh. And many believe that they knock on doors in the middle of the night and bring bad omens.
Okay.
Typically about death or disease, right? Yeah. So, supposedly they look like humans, but they wear hoods to obscure their faces. So, it's also consistent in the stories that one is a young woman.
Yeah.
Or a girl. One is a middle-aged man and one is a very old man.
Yeah.
And...
It's like the Fates.
It's like...
But diverse.
It's kind of like the Fates. Yeah. Yeah. And they do say that what happens is someone knocks on your door and doesn't say anything. And so...
So creepy. I'm getting goosebumps.
Your advice to not look out the window, not open the door. If someone... And this links back to our whole taopo.
Yeah.
Practice, right? So, usually in the Philippines, when you, especially in the provinces, right?
Yeah.
Everyone does this where, if, again, when we say provinces, rural,
rural country areas.
When you knock, you say taopo.
Taopo.
And I think in the, you know, modern
things context.
Yeah. Modern interpretations of taopo is Like, using it to ask if anyone's inside.
Yes.
Because
tao is person.
Tao is person. Is there a person inside?
Mm-hmm.
The historian Ambit Ocampo, I think, released an article a few years back.
Yeah.
Where he said that he believes it's more linked with the practice of saying there's a human person being
at the door.
A tao, a human being at the door. So it's
as
safe.
As opposed to...
It's safe to open the door.
Yeah.
As opposed to a supernatural entity, encanto, yeah, etc.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, it's also said that if you hear, like, 3 knocks on your door and no one's talking, saying anything, do not open it.
Yeah. No one's saying tao po.
Yeah. Because if you do open it, you won't find anything outside. It'll just be, like, empty.
Will you, like, let them in? Let, like, the omen in? Or?
So, here's the unfortunate thing about it. If you hear the knock, it's already too late.
Oh.
The tragedy is already going to strike.
Yeah, the wheels have already been turning.
They're just giving you a warning.
Yeah, yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
And I think that the in some other areas, they also believe that... So, it's an omen of death. But mm-hmm. in some areas, they believe that the eldest member of the house or the one who is ill will be visited again and subsequently die.
Oh.
It's kind of like a warning. Like, we're coming yeah. for you soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Type of situation.
The eldest of the... It's like a... It's very biblical, no?
Yeah. Like yeah. a... And, okay, so speaking of biblical, there was a time where a lot of residents in Luzon and Visayas painted white crosses on their doors to ward off the yes. kumakatok.
Like Passover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why... So I don't know whether this is true because I there isn't corroborating primary sources, but it's said that this trend then, you know, translated into putting the crosses on from residences to government buildings, hospitals and churches. So,
yeah.
you know, if you see a normal Filipino home, and actually I never thought of it until now.
Yeah.
There's always a crucifix on top, similar yeah. to how in Chinese households you have that
bakwa.
Is it called bakwa?
I think bakwa is the pork. But I think it's also called bakwa.
What's it called?
Can the octagon at the door?
It's called bagua.
Oh, I was close!
Yeah, not jerky.
Not the, jerky. It's
the
not
octagon
pork
mirror
jerky.
To ward off evil spirits. So
bagua.
They say that the practice of putting crucifixes...
Why do you put jerky on your door?
They say the practice of putting crucifixes on the door is...
Ah, makes sense. So hanging the crucifixes in... I'm trying to remember in our home if we ever hung crucifixes around. It creeped me out to have it like in a bedroom. But yeah. I did wear a crucifix for a long time.
And we always had in Pampanga, my Lola put rosaries in every single bedpost.
Wow.
Yeah.
Intense.
Because we had bedposts and she would just like put like a, it's just hanging there like a rosary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
These things that you don't really think about.
I know. Like in hindsight is like weird. Having like an altar at the house or like puon and stuff.
Mm.
Also, unrelated but sort of related. What's up with the big fork and spoon decor?
I don't know either. What? I was trying to look it up. I was, because, you know, when a question takes hold, it just, you have to answer it.
Yeah.
I tried. I couldn't figure out why.
What's up with that?
All I kept getting from Google was like eBay links and like,
yeah,
you know.
I wonder.
So that's really it in terms of the
lore.
The lore. And I wish there were like more literature or historical records about it, but frankly, mm-hmm. My guess is it's really more of a modern
mm-hmm.
folklore, modern mm-hmm. phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And what I instead found was a more recent account in 2020.
Ooh, that's so new. That's mid-COVID.
Of people going around knocking on houses and killing people.
And killing people?
So, there were a series of tweets that suddenly propping up on the internet.
Okay.
In like 2020-ish, mm-hmm. when people were still in lockdown in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there were a group of people who were knocking on doors. And some people say that like, oh, it's a cult. It's like a gang or a cult and yeah, they're out killing people. But some people said that
like these gangs.
Videos that they were able to capture of people walking to the doors, but they kept disappearing in and out in the videos that were taken.
Oh my goodness.
And so people were warning each other to, like,
don't answer your door.
Don't answer your door. So
do they say taupo or they just knock and don't?
So here's what happened. So just in 2020, rumors started spreading around in the Philippines about a group of mysterious people going around from house to house, knocking on people's doors. And then when you answer the door, they will kill you by decapitating you.
Intense. But also, so, when you open the door, how will they kill you?
I don't know.
Okay.
So, online posts started propping up. And they were warning different people that there are armed people belonging to a particular cult roaming the streets of several provinces in northern Mindanao.
Okay.
And they said that people who were wandering around from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. were looking for victims. But they didn't say why it was happening or who this cult was.
It wasn't like robbery or sacrifice or anything. Yeah.
And when I started digging into it, in 2000, it also happened.
What?
In 1980, it also happened.
Wow.
So there have been... I don't know if it's like vigilantism that's been going on. But like,
who are the victims?
Like normal people.
Wow.
But the thing is, I hesitate to subscribe to the whole cult conspiracy thing because it's very easy to sensationalize it.
Yeah.
Right? We don't know. I think, and strangely enough, it hasn't been really truly investigated enough.
Has it been on the news at all?
Like, it's been on the news, but not like... If it's a series of people like going around killing people, you'd expect more news outlets to go a bit more in-depth. But it's very shallow.
The thing about coverage. It is, too, like, there's so much murder in the Philippines anyways that it's a very...
Yeah.
It's very, you know... I mean, I was just thinking about this the other day, about, like, the concept of salvage...
Yeah.
In the Philippines. Like, salvage, ironically, salvage originally to means to save. But in the Philippines, when it's salvage, it's usually like a contract killing
and this,
or an assassination.
This term propped up like in the 60s, 70s.
Was it? I thought it was I think it was like during martial law around that time.
60s, 70s.
And I think...
To
quietly take care of people, either if they're like... gonna testify against someone and like we know, like I know several people whose parents have been salvaged and like just like either politically assassinated or like just from business assassinated and it's just like and it's so I wouldn't be surprised if something like this, which is fairly ordinary, like fairly not high profile, would happen.
And it's it's really horrifying because it's happened so often that people got desensitized to it.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. Yeah. So in this particular case, it's the same thing. So it took a while for the media
to pick it up.
And then it exploded a bit. The Philippine National Police started to investigate the rumors and find out if it is connected to a certain rebel group.
Could be because it's Northern Mindanao.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But nothing came of it.
Oh.
And local government authorities just told people, just don't go out when it's dark. Also, I always find it very suspicious when the police just stop investigating.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So I think it's also like weird that it's the modus operandi is also fairly random, right? Like just knocking at the door and open and whoever answers the door gets decapitated because like what if that wasn't the target unless they're like...
But we don't also know that that's the whole story,
that's
right?
That's true.
Only the story that crept up to the internet because no one was able to really connect the dots. Maybe it isn't random.
Yeah.
And maybe that wasn't really how it was done.
We need an investigative reporter on
it. Here's some detail.
Okay.
Two men were arrested for their suspected involvement in the murder of a mother and a 7-year-old son. They were caught with firearms, but they insisted that they were just protecting themselves.
Okay.
Because they were also caught with mysterious items, which turned out to be a form of agimat.
Okay.
Or talisman. And even when the surviving family of the victims clarified that the case was not related to any cult, it did not stop gossip from associating the arrest with earlier incidents. So one tweet became viral because they claimed that the perpetrators were caught on surveillance cameras. Ooh. With alleged footage showing people disappearing and reappearing. Right? So they were like, is it an animal? Is it a supernatural
being? Is it shapeshifter?
Yeah. And a local magazine show managed to trace similar claims from Sultan Kudarat in the Maguindanao province. But residents there describe the assailant as a very tall, dark figure with glowing red eyes, which they called locally the Banutok. Mm-hmm. And there was a photo of the alleged Banutok,
okay,
which I'll show you.
This is scary. Looks like a monkey.
It does look like a monkey.
Looks like a macaque.
Yeah. So people were advised to keep their gates closed. They started putting a protection on their doors. So they put like Catholic images, statues, salt, holy water.
Garlic.
Inverted broomsticks.
Inverted broomsticks?
Which is a very witchy...
Yes.
And even vinegar and ash to ward off demonic powers. Mm-hmm. And most allege that the Banutok was not a creature. It's just a common thief or a burglar. Mm-hmm. That covered itself in grease to make it easier to slip away.
Okay.
Interesting.
Slippery.
I don't know. They interviewed an anthropologist who said, oh, they're just spreading this fear to keep people indoors during the pandemic.
I mean, authorities have, if the timing wasn't during the pandemic, I wouldn't be surprised. It's like the whole thing of like how the CIA allegedly created the whole myth of Manananggal to keep people away from certain strongholds and bases and things like that, right? Yeah. So like, I mean...
And similarly, right? There are indeed several kind of guerrilla groups, rebel groups in various parts of the country, right?
Yeah.
In Mindanao, in Visayas, in Luzon.
Yeah.
They demonized the... And part of the way to kind of, the part of the strategy they employed to track these people down, to tamp down the following because they were recruiting more people is to quote unquote demonize them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. They said that the Communist
Party,
was it National
CPP-NPA.
Party? Yeah, NPA. Yeah. You know, they became associated with weird like legends around that area.
Yeah. Communist Party of the Philippines, National People's Army.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of similar in that vein. I don't know. Maybe it's just petty burglary and something like that. And
maybe it could be so many things, right? Mm. It could be, you know, from the benevolent, scope to all the way to the malevolent, right? So like, it could be. Look, the local Department of Health is fed up with people going outside and drinking, and so. Can you please stay indoors and stop breaking the curfew, right? Because other things like getting arrested isn't stopping you.
Yeah.
So maybe decapitation is going to scare you.
And it's really hard with the internet now, especially if you think about all of the mermaid sighting TikToks.
I know, that's so funny.
So this is one of the original...
What does TikTok say?
The tweets that went viral. They said, help, please spread. Apparently, there's a group of people wandering around Mindanao here in the Philippines. They knock on people's doors and cut your head off once you answer. And they were like, please stay safe. And then someone said, make sure to keep your chinelas, your slippers inside.
Why?
So the people doing this don't know how many people are inside.
Oh my God.
And keep your lights off.
So specific.
So they were like telling... stories of that. Someone from Ozamis City said, I'm from Ozamis City and last night everyone was in chaos. Starting from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m., everyone was trying to catch the cult, but it's so hard to catch. They vanished immediately and some said that they transformed into cats.
What?
And then someone said, in our place, every night my friends and I are talking about it in their group chat and they're in panic because we feel like a lot of people are just outside the house and climbing roofs and suddenly disappearing.
Oh my gosh. So they're hearing sounds and stuff.
Yeah. So the PNP, so the Philippine National Police, you know, investigated reports, especially of the alleged armed persons knocking on doors in Misamis.
But did they actually talk to like family members of people who have been decapitated?
I don't know. So the thing is, I couldn't get a lot of like, counts on the big news sites. Yeah, it's not really, I guess because there's not enough information, so they don't really cover as much of it. But the tweets do exist. So someone, a group of people did talk about it. So like I said, this wasn't the first time that they covered incidences of like what they call quote-unquote cult killings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In 2000.
These are all so recent.
There's a piece of news on ABC News.
What?
So it reached, like, it became an international story where at least 20 die as cops clash with cultists.
What?
That's the headline.
What?
So police and Christian cultists clashed in southern Philippines after authorities tried to arrest a member of the band, killing at least 20 people. Oh no, I've heard of
this.
People.
I remember this. Okay, okay.
Officers traveled to a colony of the Catholic God Spirit in the village of Kimanait in Pangantukan, Bukidnon Province, late Friday, to arrest a member of the group on attempted murder charges, the police said. Fighting began after the cultists, armed with long knives and homemade guns, refused to yield the suspect. And the police chief said 16 cult members, including the suspect, were killed, along with 4 civilian militiamen who accompanied the police. This.
Yeah.
2 militiamen were wounded. And they said that most of the slain cultists wore amulets meant to make them bulletproof.
Yeah.
So, and I think, I don't know if I have, I didn't include it anymore because I was like, I'm getting too deep into a rabbit hole that is, even in like 1980s, like late 70s, early 90s, there are also multiple like stories linked to this. So I guess part of it is like these, you know, mysterious groups who do, you know, petty crimes and even murders are always there in the collective consciousness. They're aware of the presence of these people. And so, you know, it's easy to kind of link it with supernatural phenomenon and stuff like that. And if people were forced to stay in their houses the whole time during the pandemic, because the Philippines had one of the longest lockdowns, if I'm not mistaken. They kept going on lockdown.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not hard to imagine what could have caused that kind of
panic. Cabin fever.
Yeah.
And I also think it's like, it's an interesting contrast to the much more well-known like petty crime happenings in the Philippines where, you know, for robberies there's like the Akyat Bahay Gang, which is the Akyat Bahay is literally climbing up into your house and like things can just be like stolen from your door.
That's why the fences in the Philippines, and I'm sure it's not just a Philippine thing.
Yeah.
There's like barbed wire on top
or
of
like
the fences.
Broken glass.
Or broken glass that's in the cement.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of houses here in Singapore that have that too, but I think it's interesting. But also, I remember when I started living on my own in my condo in Taguig, a lot of like my parents were also telling me, like, just don't answer the door when people knock. That was also a thing that they said, like, peek out your window. Because I didn't have, like, a peephole. They always, like, look out the window if there's someone there.
That's exactly what they say about the kumakato.
Yeah.
Look out your window.
Like, look out the window and check if there's actually someone there. And I even had, like, a mirror. I even had, like, a little compact by my window so that I could look outside through the compact. Yeah.
Where was this?
Taguig. It's not in a rural
but
area.
But hey, you're a woman living by yourself.
I know. The only thing that was stolen from me was my Wi-Fi. I was so mad. Because I was like, I didn't think of putting... when I moved into that building, I was one of the few, like 10 of us, or there were only 10 of us in that building. In a building that maybe had like 150, 200 units. And so I was one of the first people who moved in. And I was like, fantastic. Great. I moved in. I didn't think of like having my Wi-Fi password protected or anything. And then like one day I couldn't log in. And then when I went online,
they changed your password.
They changed my fucking password. Right? Not only were they on it illegally, they put a password on it. And I was so mad.
Did you get it back eventually?
Yeah. It's easy. You just reset it. But like I turned it off.
You should have changed
for like a week.
You should have changed your Wi-Fi name to "Fuck You, Thief."
Yeah, no, I was like, "Don't steal my Wi-Fi, you asshole," or something like that for a long time. And then you can't guess my password. And it was like a random password. It was like password generator, 15 characters long, everything. Like not hackable. And it, you know, it's never stolen again. But still, so far, so pissed off, so annoyed. So that was the only thing that was stolen from me in my house.
Good.
That's so interesting. And it's so ominous, the knocking.
And the thing is, I looked up to see, are there other countries that have like this type of thing where, you know, three knocks signal death. Almost every.
Yeah.
Every, what's this? Region.
Yeah.
Continent, I mean. Almost every continent has it. So Africans have a version. Native Americans have a version. Irish and Scottish. So Celtic beliefs. Mm-hmm. It also exists, the three knocks. And I saw this interesting kind of, someone recorded, like a teacher in Dublin, like recorded a lot of like the local folklore at the time. And one of the pages is death signs.
Okay.
So what are the signals and signs of death in Ireland? Mm-hmm. So when a raven flies over a house, it is said that one of the people who lives in that house will die.
Okay.
The death knock is also a warning of death. So in many of the houses, when a person is dying, a knock is heard. One of the people of the house go to the door and find nobody at it because the knock was a ghostly one. And this occurs three times as well. Oh. But instead of like a...
Yeah.
It's a knock at a certain time and then sometime later, another knock. And some other time later, another knock. So it happens at three different times of a day. And that's usually a signal that someone in that house is going to die. And the person who recorded it actually got the story from their mom. Mm-hmm. So one night, you know, I think the aunts or something, they were sitting by the fireside and they heard three knocks at the window. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the house had gone to bed except the two of them. They got afraid. They went upstairs to go to bed and they heard the three knocks again at the wall. And then it was about 10:30 when the knocks came. And the next morning, they heard that the husband of one of them died at 10:30.
Creepy.
And so I checked it out. Like, many cultures believe in the three knocks foretelling death. It's so common now that it's hard to trace the origins. And you know, there's a thing called the knock of death, but there's also a thing called death knocks in winter. So the death knocks happen much more frequently in winter than in other times, because I guess most people are in the house. I know, famine, like shortage of food,
but also like wood settling sounds. And like, you know, just things expanding and contracting. If there's like random shrieking in the background, that's the baby. That's not a monster.
So in many cultures, they know it as the three knocks of doom. So the Irish and Scots both have traditions that say three knocks on the door or three taps at the window. Ooh. Especially when heard at regular intervals lasting for 2 minutes means death.
Oh my gosh.
According to several Native American tribes, so you were asking, what if you don't have wood?
Yeah.
When the thumping of a stick three times on the ground is heard, or the beating of a drum three times is heard, it means someone will die.
Sorry for the screaming child in the background.
There are also versions of this tale in Arab and Jewish traditions. Mm-hmm. And in Africa, the Yoruba religion of Orisha has a folk tale where the three knocks plays an important role. Mm-hmm. So in this story, three brothers are destined to become oriates or high priests in their religion, but they must work hard and perform many rituals first. But so of the three brothers, the two older ones are impatient and they don't want to go through and perform all of the rituals. And they become jealous of their younger brother because he did all of the hard work and he became a high priest before they did. Mm-hmm. And so they became so angry and so jealous that they decided to murder their brother.
Makes sense.
And then later, after they, you know, performed the murder. They heard three knocks on their door.
Oh my gosh.
Their dead young brother walks in. And immediately, the older brother dies of a heart attack. And the other is put to death by the villagers because they know that they help murder.
Did anyone see the brother? Did anyone see the brother or the Naomi brother?
It's a folktale.
Okay.
In some other places, even the sound of a woodpecker,
yeah,
is a harbinger of death because they're
Remember, in the practical magic lore, the Death Watch beetle. It's a beetle. It's called the Death Watch beetle, and it has a very loud clicking sound, which sounds like a knock.
Yeah. And I think even in America, it's very prominent. Like, I was just randomly looking it up, and there are several Reddit threads dedicated to, like, just people telling stories of their own experiences of the three knocks, right? Mm-hmm. And even, like, there was a, you know, the Bell Witch haunting in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So it was also, you know, the three knocks also played a prominent role in that story. There's one last thing that I found, which is in Bali.
Okay.
So, if there is a knock that comes late at night, mid-slumber, it's not necessarily a harbinger of death, I don't think, but it says that one of your ancestors is coming to visit
you. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So the Balinese know that unexpected knocks at the door shouldn't be entertained, but what they actually believe is when you hear knockings from an unknown source, whether that's at the door or your window, you are blessed with a visit from your ancestors.
I like that more.
I know. And
I think overall, they're not naman the bad people per se. They're announcers. They're just, you know, they're the PR of the bad thing.
But they do say in Bali that if you do hear that knock, that's good. Your ancestors are visiting, but don't open the door because if you do, it means you are accepting their invitation into their world.
Oh, okay.
And that's where the whole you might die if you open the door comes in.
I tell you, last night I was trying to fall asleep and I have a hard time sleeping. And Brian was downstairs playing video games. And then I kept on hearing like a thumping, like a thump, thump, thumping.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go downstairs and he has fallen asleep playing his video game. It's not him. Go back upstairs, turn off the lights, whatever. And I still hear a thump, thump, thumping. So I check. It's not Yaya, it's not Tegan. Tegan's fast asleep, blah, blah, blah. And so I go out on the balcony.
Okay.
And I do hear the thump, thump, thumping. Turns out the building in front of our house is a heritage building, right?
Yeah.
And so every day, there's like a security, agency who goes and takes pictures of it and inspects it. I think to make sure that there aren't any squatters there.
Also, they knocked to see if anyone's there. Like, yeah, homeless, I don't know if
they
knocked people?
Or if they were just moving around the barriers.
Oh, okay.
Because there's like some road barriers.
Did you confirm that that's what was happening?
I saw them outside, So I saw that they were there, like lights. I saw the guy outside with he has like this giant flashlight and this iPad and he's just like taking videos of the house and everything.
But see, this is why I was too scared to research this last night. Because I was like, I'm by myself.
By yourself. But even if I'm like, even if I'm in the house and it's full of people, I still get like creeped out and like hear random sounds of the house.
That's true. Apparently, there's a version of the Balinese belief where it's actually a bit less, you know, heartwarming, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they do say that hearing knocking at ungodly hours reveals that your family has associations with black magic. So if you open the door, a leak, which is kind of like a figure of Balinese witchcraft, will come in the form of, so it's like a manananggal, actually just a head with a very, very long tongue,
like a pugot,
and sharp fangs, and it will lick you.
Ew.
And if it licks you, it will cause a deathly sickness.
Ew.
On yourself.
I think that would be like the least of your worries if you see like a floating head with that I'm gonna get sick. I'm like, first off, maybe I will die from fright.
I know. In the Celtic or the Irish beliefs, they do say that the banshee, which is kind of like a type of ghoul, right? Often also linked as a harbinger of death.
Yeah.
There are versions where either it howls in the middle of the night, you hear it, or it also knocks.
It also knocks.
On your door.
I always have this image of like a a white lady type person in white and a wet nightgown floating in the whatever the moor.
It has to be wet.
It has to be wet. It has to be like clinging to her in the moor somewhere.
Mm.
And then that's just that, the shrieking of the banshee is, you know, that there will be a harbinger of death.
Yeah.
Cool.
There are versions which say, usually it says that it's unavoidable. Like, once you hear the knock, that's it.
Yeah.
Some say that as long as you don't open the door,
you can
avoid it. But a lot of versions say you can't. It reminds me of the, you know, the touch wood or the knock on wood.
Yeah.
To kind of like, if you say something
like, I've never gotten COVID. Knock on wood.
Yeah, so if you want to avoid any kind of bad luck, or if you kind of casually mention a misfortune or whatever, a good way to reverse it would be to knock on wood or to touch wood. And I wonder if it's linked, I don't know, kind of a stretch. But then I ended up into a rabbit hole of, why is this a thing? Why do we touch wood?
Yeah, also, and why is it touch wood? Why is it touch wood in some places? Why is it knock on wood in some places?
So here's what the legends say.
Okay.
Before, it wasn't like you were touching like cut wood in a house. It used to be touching wood in a forest.
Like trees.
Touching trees.
Mm-hmm.
Because people believe that there are guardian spirits in the trees.
Oh, so you're
receiving the protection of the tree. You're saying, please help me, please protect me. So remember when we talked to Nick of the paranormal podcast?
Yes.
Shout out to Nick.
Hi, Nick. Hi, JP.
JP. He talked to us about how you kind of energy exchange between like humans and nature, because I was talking to him about how I always say hi to this magical
tree,
beautiful tree in our village, and it kind of reminded me of that, because I think you give energy with your right hand, if I'm not mistaken, and you receive with your left and give with your right, or something like that. Please correct me if I'm wrong. So I think that's part of why we touch wood, because we're trying to kind of receive the protection of the guardian spirits of the trees in the forest. And then it translated into eventually, you know, when we started building our houses with wood, we would also kind of get protection by knocking on wood. So I found that interesting.
So I was wondering, because, you know, I remember the Death Watch Beetle, because I was rewatching Practical Magic around autumn time every year, around Halloween.
I should do that.
Every year. Yeah. I bought it on Apple
Movie,
so I have
it. Because they don't stream it right now.
They don't stream it right now. Or they used to stream it in Netflix. But now I'm watching it on Apple, because I like to watch it every so often.
You know, a movie that I bought on Apple, because I wanted to have it all the time. Death Becomes Her.
I love Death Becomes Her.
And also First Wives Club.
I love that one also.
So really Goldie Hawn.
I have all the Harry Potters on Apple. I have Practical Magic, and I have The Mirror Has Two Faces.
Oh, I love The Mirror Has Two Faces.
But yeah, so anyway, so I was thinking, so you're watching about Practical Magic. I was probably watching Practical Magic, and I had also just finished the book of magic. Yes. And then the Death Watch Beetle, right? The Death Watch Beetle makes like the knocking sound, or a really loud clicking sound. And I was wondering, like, the lizard, and we have a lot of lizards here in the house, and the lizard makes a really loud knocking sound. So I was wondering if there were any superstitions around that, because it's a really loud and...
Well, there is. The manananggal.
Ah, that's true. The tick-tick. Tick-tick.
Did we ever cover other kind of signs that someone's about to die or something?
No, this is the first time.
We never did, right?
No. Yeah.
Usually when we were covering superstitions, it had to do with like the spirit of your... loved one who passed away coming back with a butterfly and stuff like that.
And like only in passing. But yes, we haven't ever done like death omens. We've only done like after death manifestations. Like we've dealt
because
with death.
I haven't really seen much with regard to death omens. Although, and we'll cover this in another episode, there is, because there are So, if there's one thing that all religions can agree on is that death exists, right?
Yes.
And in a lot of mythologies around the globe, there are so many gods of death because it's the one thing that's consistent.
Yes, yes.
I found a very interesting being in one of the Philippine folklore, or sorry, Philippine myths, that's kind of like fates.
Fates!
So
okay,
they visit a child, they talk to a child, and depending on how the conversation with the child goes, they decide when the child dies.
What?
So it's kind of like you actively...
Influencing
your own fate.
But
without
if you're
you
a
knowing
kid,
about
what do
it.
You know?
Like, but it reminds me of like, you know when in a lot of Chinese families, they make the kid choose a toy when they're like 3 or 4 years old?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is supposed
Korean
to be...
Korean too.
Yeah, which is supposed to, or maybe it is Korean, which is supposed to be like your future.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But obviously it's very biased because they're like, oh, a gavel or a stethoscope.
Yeah. I think our next door neighbor, Alois, I think she picked musician.
We should do it for Tegan, but random. Just random.
Of course, she'll just choose whatever. She'll choose
like a
princess.
Yeah.
If you ask her what she wants to be when she grows up, she'll say a mermaid.
Well, it's a bit, she's too old now, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. You have to do it when they're younger, they don't understand.
There's no value judgments.
Yeah. What I find like incredibly fascinating about this story is how modern it is.
Yeah.
How it's very, like, you know, pretty much of this century.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Right?
Or the last century.
And it's one of those things where it's a bit harder to find quote-unquote historical sources of it.
That's why I think it's like it's an urban myth.
That's true. It's
an urban myth, much like the snake.
Yeah.
Much like a lot of other.
And maybe that's why it does carry so many similarities with
Western myths.
Asian and African myths also, but like more, something a bit more universal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it even carries like similar themes as the Passover, which I
found
incredibly interesting.
It's all, by the way, Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Right now, yes.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Happy New Year, our Jewish people.
Jewish friends. But yeah, so that's the Kumakatok.
Okay.
Or nangangatok.
Nangangatok.
The knock of death.
So scary. Also so ominous.
And since it seemed to be so common, we would love to hear of any kind of stories you may have heard or experiences you may have had that have to do with these mysterious cryptic knocks in the night. Do you have a lolo or a lola who lived during the Japanese occupation who may have corroborating stories of his incidents?
Mm-hmm.
Are you someone from Mindanao who can tell us about what
happened during the lockdowns?
Is there any kind of merit to these like
knock knock and beheading?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These stories because...
So scary.
Yeah, I don't know, right?
Okay.
But it's one of those
creepy
living legends.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I mean, I'm sure we'll hear about some more. But I like...
thanks to everyone who sent in their stories about their experiences with Nuno. There's so many of
There's so many. It's so cool. It's so ubiquitous.
And we're so glad that you guys have escaped from...
I know. Maybe we'll do a special minisode of just the Nuno stories if you guys are okay with
that.
Us for sharing. You know what it is? So there's a cryptid that exists in America. It's called the Mothman.
I've
heard of it. And it was a movie, actually. It was a Richard Gere movie a few years ago called the Mothman.
Is it a Native American?
Probably. Well, there's some similarities, but this was like a very modern 1970s, 1960s. Mm. All the accounts were from like from 50s and 60s and 70s. But it also seems to be related to the Thunderbird myth, where like a giant bird just goes across the sky when there's a big storm. Like the reason why it gets dark is because the Thunderbird is flying across
the
sky.
Ah,
the
wings are covering.
Yeah,
okay.
The sun. But also at the same time, you have to keep your kids indoors when the Thunderbird
comes.
Sorry,
so what does the
Mothman... So the Mothman. So
you got, distracted.
Well, it's just the Native American connection, right? So the Mothman is, it happened around the 60s and 70s where a couple of people would have accounts of man-sized moths.
Okay.
So it was essentially, it was like a man with like big wings. He kind of looked like a giant owl. So the wings were like up and then the eyes were like where the shoulders would be. It's not like a guy with wings. It looked like a giant like owl type looking guy, red eyes, buzzing sounds. It would like stop in front of cars and stop them. And there were like so many different sightings and so many different sort of testimonials of it like eating sheep or like messing up with power lines and things like that. And there were multiple accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, one day, the town where it was yeah. connected to, I think, New Jersey, I don't know, by a big bridge.
Okay.
And so the accounts of the Mothman increase until this was like a Christmas, the week before Christmas or something.
Uh-huh.
Everyone was on that bridge going to the city to go shopping, and the bridge just like collapsed.
Okay.
Into the Winter River, and like dozens of people died.
Okay.
And so retroactively, people say that the Mothman was warning them about this impending tragedy. Ah. And after the bridge collapsed, there were absolutely no more sightings of the Mothman.
Mm. Did he have to kill the sheep to warn them?
I have no idea. I think it was just some crazy farmer guy. Like, had a wolf or something.
But you can make sense of a lot of things after the fact.
I know, after the fact, and you like sort of connect the dots, right? Or maybe the guy who was doing the scam was on the bridge and he died, right? Mm. I mean, it could be, it could be a lot of...
So, that was the first... Ooh. Of the special series. There's no name
spooky.
For the series yet.
Spooky. It's a spooky series.
I love the sound effect. And that was all about the Kumakatok. So yeah. Again, if you have any interesting stories about the Kumakatok or other death omens that you may have heard of, if mm-hmm. you know from your lolos or lolas, if they have stories, if they can recall if any of that happened, we'll be very interested in hearing about it. And watch out for the next installment in the series.
Yeah.
And welcome to all of our new listeners.
Hello, welcome.
Hope you're still able to follow all of our tangents.
ADHD podcast.
Anima, where can they find us?
They can find us at thegodsmustbecrazy.pod on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We are also on Patreon. And those are the parrots in our background. And also, you can find us on all of the podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many, many others. Anchor.fm, which is where we're housed. You can leave messages for us on Anchor.fm, but also on Instagram. And so, no, please reach out if you can, if you feel like adding your own story to ours. And also, if you can rate and give us 5 stars, that would be fantastic. Thank you for all of those who have already given us 5 stars. We love you.
But as always, the best way to support is to, number one, keep listening. So shout out to all of our old listeners who've been here since the start. It's always fun for us to learn so much more about our mythology with all of you.
Mm-hmm.
If you know of anyone who would be interested in hearing about these different myths and legends, obviously support the podcast by sharing mm-hmm. with your friends or on social media. And that really just helps get the word out and get more people interested in our mythology and our folklore.
Yay! So,
until next time, you guys.
Bye!
Bye!
There's a knocking at the door! There's a knocking! Who's knocking at the door?
Oh, it's Tegan!
Oh, Tegan knocking at the door! Hello. Hello, what's your name?
Hello, I'm Tegan.
Tegan?
Oh, you're shy.
Riley.
Oh, how old are you?
4 years old.
Yeah, do you like scary stories?
Nope.
You don't like scary stories? What kind of stories do you like?
I like perfect.
Perfect stories.
I like perfect stories too.
Anyways.
A serious professional podcast.
We're so professional, guys.